You popping up, girl. I'm trying to see if I'm gonna change my cap. I do all this, girl, while we on here. Oh, hey, everybody. What's up? What's up? Let me tell y'all something. This is a talk with Queenie, and I have here, the boy Quincy. We got listen, y'all. We're ready for the show today. Look at my hat, y'all. I think my hat make my head look big. Listen. So, welcome to A Talk with Queenie, My Gospel Soul Radio. Well, My Gospel Soul TV. I am so happy to be on here with now they call you Day or Day Renee, right?
Day Renee. Yeah.
Day Renee. On here with Day Renee. Because I would call her by first, you know, you say call you by your name on your birth certificate.
Yeah.
But but we're here with Day Renee and we're here with Quincy. And we're going to be talking about the outdoors because I just really want to know. And we're going to be talking about her book. It's a children's book, right?
Children's book, yes.
Children's book. We're also going to be talking about the business, the cable business.
Right.
Okay. And some other stuff. We're going to be talking about Corona just a little bit because she got to go. We're going to be talking about quarantine because I saw Day Renee and the family doing some things during quarantine, having some fun, passing the time. And we're also going to be talking about Quincy's new, right?
We got something new coming up. His album.
Mm-hmm. So this is a power-packed show. Make sure you go ahead and share this with everybody. I have tagged and shared. I want everybody to tag and share. If you're on the Facebook right now, we are on a separate app. So I got everybody on the screen next to me. So go ahead and share. Let's get into it. Okay, Dave Renee, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about that outdoor living. What's going on?
Well, for those that don't know, my name is Day Renee. I do a lot of outdoor stuff. So I've been in the outdoors for about just 3 years. So I'm not an expert. I'm still learning. And I just want to encourage women and just kids, youth, anybody to get in the outdoors. It doesn't matter how old you are when you started. I'm trying to get Queenie in the outdoors. Her dad was a hunter. And it's important just to continue what we learn and to pass it down to the next generation. So, yeah.
So being a female in a female hunter, you got to tell me about that because I know if when I was coming up, you didn't see many women out shooting guns. You saw all the men, they had on the full, you know, gear and everything and had their little hats on and their guns and the women was in the kitchen.
Right. And I mean, we're still in the kitchen, but now I'm just bringing the wild game to the kitchen.
Yeah, come on.
So I don't want to say get out the kitchen, you know, because, you know, we like to eat too. But it's important for us to be women and be able to show people that you can still be in the outdoors and still be a woman. A lot of people think, well, you got to be a tomboy. No, I'm a lady and I'm in the outdoors and I'm going to do it just like a lady in the outdoors. And, you know, when I go to the outdoors, I'm usually the only woman out there. I don't see too many women, but I'm definitely going to try to encourage and bring more women, teach them, do whatever I have to do just to get them in the outdoors. So, but it's a challenge. A lot of men, when I first started, you know, the industry, it could be sometimes not too good. It's great. I love it. But sometimes you get those people that want to discourage you for being a woman in the outdoors, but we just got to keep going and keep encouraging each other. I started off looking like a professional because I started off with a professional mentor, which was Bubs James Jackson. May he rest in heaven. But, you know, so a lot of people would give me a hard time and say, your pictures look professional. But you only been doing this for a couple months at the time. And so I was blessed to be able to start off great, you know, so.
When you started, did it feel like it came natural or what?
I think I must've been an Indian in my past life. Cause I was, you know, that's how I felt. I felt it was natural. Every shot that I made from this day has been in the same exact spot. And I've only shot them one time, each game that I killed, each game that I harvest, and they died right there and then and there. I didn't have to go looking for them. You know, sometimes you'll shoot the animal, you got to run off and go looking for them. But each time it was like a perfect shot. And it still amazes me now. Sometimes I'm not even trying to do a perfect shot and it just happened. So it kind of came naturally to me. I ain't trying to brag, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth.
Well, I got me a shotgun. My husband, I got a shotgun, but I want a real gun. Talk to us a little bit about, and we talked about it before we got on the live. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of or having a firearm and the importance of knowing how to use it.
It's very important. I tell everybody that wants to come hunting with me, make sure you go to your gun hunter safety course. Make sure you practice. Make sure you know your weapon of choice, your firearm, your bow and arrow, because you don't want to get out there and learn how to use it while you're out there. You want to be familiar with it before you get out. My children have rifles. You know, I teach them. It's important to show them that this is not something to be scared of, but this is how you use it. And they don't have they don't go and find the weapons in the house and try to use it behind my back or anything like that, because I take them and I show them and I let them practice and they don't have that curiosity. So it's very important. Safety is number one.
Hmm. So while you're out there hunting, let's go to hunting. Do you feel empowered? How do you feel knowing? Because that's we talk about deer. Deer, the only thing, because I saw some wild
hogs or boars.
Yeah.
I actually started off with my first kill was a hog. And I think that for women that are scared or don't want to kill, you know, deer because they're so beautiful, that was me at first. I didn't want to do that. I was like, I can't do that. And so my first kill was a hog. It was just easier. You will see that they mess up the land. And after you see what they can do and how they kill deer and how they, you know, this, it's just a lot of stuff that you'll feel more comfortable in killing a hog as a woman, I think. So, you know, when I take you out, that's, we have a lot of hogs on our land out there in Trinity. And so that's just one of the animals I would take you to kill first would be a hog, because it's a lot of them. I know their routine, and I think that it would not be as emotional for you or a woman. So I think that'll be a good first kill.
You know, you're right. I didn't even think about that. That would be emotional, because we see even seeing a deer get hit by a car, you know, you,
you know. Yeah, a dog is a nuisance animal. So,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people would rather see them gone. But I mean, I think that the deer tastes better. So I'm going to keep harvesting deer.
I think the deer tastes better. Yes, I do. Yeah. Now, as we go into, let's talk about the children's book. Let's just switch it up a little bit. Talk about the children's book, because, and we have a lot of writers out there. And so we'll talk about that aspect after we get into what made you write this book.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was starting to write this book. And it wasn't even going to be a children's book. It was just going to be a novel book. And as I started to write the book and I was praying and asking God to show me what he wanted me to do. And if you look through the book, you'll see that it's scripture based. Every other page says, I am beautiful. And then every other page after that says it has a scripture involved in it. And that was important for me, because we find our beauty from the world, but we need to define the beauty for our children at a very young age. And we need to define it through the word of God, because in the word, you can find that you are beautiful. We wait till we get older. And me working in the school district now as a therapist, I'm with a lot of children and I see a lot of bullying, and I try to come and work with the school districts to stop it. But at the same time, we need to empower these children. We need to empower our children and ourselves. And we need to let them know that you are beautiful even before they get to school. While they're in our home, let them know that this is why you're beautiful. This is what the book looks like. I don't know if you can see it in there, but
tell us the name, Beautiful, right?
The book is called Beautiful. And it was written by a 12-year-old girl named Zephaniah. Well, she was 12 at the time. And it was important for me to get it in a children's perspective because I wanted to know, what does beauty look to you like through your eyes? And she did an awesome job. Her mom is actually my publisher. She helped me publish the book. So when she sent me the pictures and she said, when I was looking for somebody to illustrate my book, she sent me the pictures and I knew from day one, it was her that was going to illustrate my book. It was just like, it was divine. And people have been getting it for their sons, for their moms, you know, it's not even, or for their aunts, or it doesn't even have to be for a child because it's so much knowledge in this book. It's a short book. And, you know, to be able to read it to the next generation, if you're reading it to a child, there's three words, I am beautiful. So by the end of the book, all they need to know is those three words, I am beautiful. And they can read it with you because they know when they flip the page, they might not know how to read, but they can recognize that those three words mean I am beautiful. And that's what I want them to get. The scriptures that are instilled in the book, I want them to be able to recognize and remember those scriptures, to hide them in their hearts. So when they get older, they remember, oh yeah, when I was a little girl, I read the book and this is what it taught me. So
yeah, because I found out even when I was a little girl, it's so many things I remember. It's amazing, you know, especially at times when you feel judged or you feel, you know, because this world is cruel. And I thank mm-hmm. God we have gotten to a place where we've started to love ourselves more. You know, because there was a so-called beautiful, I don't know even know the words to put it in, a class of beauty that mm-hmm. they had. You know, you had to be shaped like this. You had to look like this. You had right. to be a certain skin tone. You had to be, you know, it was so much. And I think now people are becoming more accepting of themselves, not accepting of others, but we got to first learn to love ourselves. That's why I think it's so beautiful what you've done with this book, because like you said, you know, it starts when they are children. Because I remember the first time a person called me Blackie, you know, or called me, you know, I remember, you know, mm-hmm. Call me ugly or call me, you know, you remember those things as children. So it's like, why not start building them up while they're young? This is beautiful. I mean, that's the name of the book. So yeah. Where can we get the book? Tell us where we get it, because I want to make sure I don't leave out information.
Okay, you can go to Amazon and type in Clarissa Richard, beautiful book, and it'll pop up. So you can get the book, or you can get you can do it online, the ebook. And right now, I think it's just on Amazon. So I'm still working it on getting it on other websites. Okay. So yeah.
All right.
You can get it from me personally. I usually have some out. And you know, with the book, it's really not about selling the books, because if a little girl comes up to me and she doesn't even have the money for the book, I give the books away, you know, because yeah. it's not about the money for me. I really want people, children, to understand that you are beautiful. Like, this is what the word says. You are beautiful. And this is why. And the word of God doesn't lie. So I'm backing it up with evidence and proof. It doesn't matter what culture you are, especially what we're going through right now with this yeah. crazy, like, you know, just like you said, I want my hair to be long. Oh, I want my hair to be curly. I want to be lighter. I want to be darker. I want to be, you know, I think there's we gotta talk to our kids right now. There's a big need missing it. You know, we spend a lot of time working. We spend a lot of time not being able to have those conversations with our kids, when really we need to sit down at the dinner table and have a conversation and see where our kids are coming from, how they feel, what's going on in their life, and just tell them, you're beautiful.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And God did not make a mistake when he made you.
Right.
You know, and I love that scripture. You're fearful and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
He took his time out to make you. I want to talk about, let's go into this partnership. This partnership, this business that you and Quincy have, the cable company. Listen, I know I do a lot, but I'm listening, and this is a lot. Maybe not overwhelming. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see. You're kind of frozen, but I can still see you. Yeah. Oh. It's a lot. You know, whatever God puts me to do, I'm going to do it. You know, I don't want to miss out on the opportunity that God puts in front of me. A lot of people say, you know, you're doing different things and you want to get these things finished and started and finished, but you just got to take your time and write it down and make sure that you're doing, you know, pacing yourself to do each one at a time. So we started this business. It's called Clear Vision Media. It's a cable business. And we just seen a need, you know, we were paying a lot, I think, but
$200
for cable. I'm like, no, we're not going to pay no $200 for cable. So we started off actually as customers to a different company that's similar to this. And then our prices are a little bit cheaper, but I'm going to go ahead and let Quincy talk about it too. So come on over.
Okay, how cool is Quincy?
Quincy Robinson.
How's everybody doing? But, yeah, like Clarissa was saying, we were customers looking to save some money. And, you know, we became resellers first. And then shortly after, we, you know, was in a position to buy our own franchise. So that's what we did. And it's basically streaming cable, just like Netflix. The only difference is we do live TV and not pre-recorded shows. All of the good channels, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, all your sports channels. I'm actually watching it now. We're out of town, and it's on a mobile platform, so you can watch it on the go. Whenever you're away, you can always stream in, and everything shows HD. The website is clearvisionmedia1.com, so if anybody's interested, feel free to go out and look at it, and we offer trial. So if people want to try it before they buy it, we definitely, because the cable, it pays for itself. You know, the service, it definitely sells itself. So.
And that's clear.
Now,
I'm sorry, that's clear.
Now, anybody can get this service or what? Talk to me.
Well, the only requirements for the service is having an active internet account. So you have to have internet. And you have to have some type of media box, like a Fire Stick or an Android box. And we also can install it on any Android platform. So any Android phone, tablet, even Android TV. So.
And we'll be moving more towards the iPhones
in July.
And Apple products in July. So I just want to reiterate, it's clearvisionmedia, the number 1.com. And we have different prices on there. So
we start off at $25 a month. And as you go up in different devices, the plan moves up, but we give a discount for people that want to get it on multiple devices. But it's very affordable, and everyone that has it pretty much loves it.
I think that it's awesome, you know, being able to get it on different devices. You know, you have, now tell me this, and it's probably a crazy question. So, the kids can have it on their devices, and everybody can be watching any room. See, because I'm kind of, it's more of a digital.
Excuse me. Well, it's more streaming. So depending on the plan that everybody wants, we can accommodate 30 people at one time if they want to have 30. You know, 30 devices, but it just depends on the individual. But how it works is you can watch it on as many devices as you want to, however many, you know, it's just like cable. So however many TVs that you pay for the cable to be on, that's how many you can watch it on. So.
And it's nice because if the kids are watching the cartoons and they don't want to leave the house, or, you know, we just put it on the device and take it with us, and they can watch it in the car, watch it at the grocery store, or, you know, when we're out hunting and fishing, I'm usually the one looking out because I look at him and he's looking at sports, you know.
Because I like to keep up with Houston news. So like right now we're in Virginia. Yeah. So I can look on my phone and tell what's going on in Houston, or we have every state's news. So I can look at any state from anywhere and see their news, just not whatever local state I'm in. So
yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Now tell them again, tell everybody again how they can contact you or sign up.
Well, you can sign up on our Facebook page. It's just simply called Clear Vision Media. And as well on the website, it's www.clearvisionmedia1.com.
Awesome sauce, awesome sauce. Now, y'all know I want to get into the music, okay? Let's get into the music. Talk to me a little bit about, I know around Christmas, I didn't get to go to sing with you, but around Christmas, you did a Christmas.
We were looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll get you back on. We did not forget. So
It's we don't listen.
We can always. He has his Christmas album out that came out in December. We can always put you back on it. So, but
I was just auditioning. Auditioning.
You already got. You don't have to audition.
Yeah, that part is over with. Yeah,
we already feel it.
Oh, it's on the pop locking then. Talk to us about what you got going on right now. What's the project?
Well, I came out with a CD back in 2007 called Church Time, CHUUCH. And it's basically going to be a revamp of that album. Some of the original songs that people enjoyed, we'll do those over and give it more of a modern feel. But also, it's kind of exploring the trials and tribulations that I've gone through over the past few years. And you know, because, you know, with every valley is a mountaintop. And a lot of times we focus on the valley too much and we don't give the mountaintop enough credit. So I'm going to give the valley the credit that it deserves, but I'm going to also give God his glory for bringing me up to the mountaintop. So that's basically what the project is going to reflect. It's going to, you know, my life, the lows and the highs, and because everybody's going through something and everybody needs to hear something. So I just want to be that voice that people can hear when they're going through.
You know, as you were talking, it's so true. As singers, as artists, we go through a lot, and to be able to turn that pain into a message or a ministry or even just therapy for ourselves is a blessing. So I'm hoping that you sing a little for us, you know, while we are live right now. How about it?
So what's the song that's kind of been in my heart for the past few weeks is a song about us as Black people. You know, most Black people, we know it, we've grown up singing it, but it's a shame that the song was written so many years ago and that it's still relevant to the day. You know, it should be a song of history, of reflecting, not a song of what we're actually going through. But it says, "We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday."
Come on, come on, come on.
Oh my God. I was ready for it to do it one more time. Come on, one more time.
Come on, let's hear it. Come on now.
I thought Queenie was gonna take over.
Come on, Queenie.
"We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe We shall overcome someday.
Someday. Yeah.
Hey, man. Boy, y'all gonna make me go to church up in here. Cut it out. That's necessary.
It is necessary.
That song is necessary right now because we need something to believe in. You know, I was talking about this yesterday in my church service. I was saying that we got to understand what's happening right now. A lot of people saying, we want peace. But we have to understand that God allows a lot of things to happen for us to get to where we need to be. You know, our ancestors coming out of slavery, it wasn't peace coming out of slavery. It was war coming out of slavery. It was fighting coming out of slavery. It was some hard times. It was some crying. It was some bloodshed coming out of slavery, getting the freedom. You understand? So we see a lot going on in the world, and we would love for it to end like with peace and people to really do. But we got to know that we need to accept what God allows. And when this storm passes over, we got to pray that we, like we say, that we become overcomers. Amen. Through this thing, we make it through this thing. But we got to understand, too, God let things happen for a reason. For a reason. We need to make sure that we protect our children, protect our households, get our minds right. You know, I hate to say this out loud, but on myself, you know, because let's function in reality. Come on, right. Let's function in reality.
We really do have to arm ourselves, and it saddens me that I have to talk to my boys, even my daughter. When they go outside, you know, she's of driving age now. She goes to the store and I let her know, this is what you need to do. You know, this is what, you know, I feel like I understand where you're coming from. And as a teenager right now, you want to tell them, you know, I didn't get pulled over for this or why did you want to ask questions, but I want you to make it home alive.
It's the number one.
And I have to tell her, just do this, you know, talk to me about it when you get home. But make sure you come home and I'm able to talk to you about it. So, and I'm not saying all police officers are bad because my brother is a police officer. You know, I have cousins and family members who are police officers. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's still a struggle. It's reality. It's our reality. And I'm praying for all the families. I'm praying for us as a society, as a culture. And just as parents, you know, that's a hard conversation for me to have. And it's a continual conversation, especially when we're out hunting and we have, you know, rifles and firearms in the car. You know, Quincy, I hear him tell the kids all the time when they're playing with toy guns, don't, when we're driving, he says, don't have your guns up in the car.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know their toy guns or, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's the world that we live in. And what saddens me even more is that it takes something to this magnitude to get us to come together for anything.
Wow. And
like at some point we have to put ourselves in a position of we have the power. I mean, the black dollar is the most powerful dollar in America. It's the most spent dollar in America, but we own the least amount of things in America. So
like, wow.
If we wanna really inflict the change, then we need to band together. I think we have like five or six African American owned banks in Houston, but we'd rather take our money to Chase or to Bank of America. Like, if we want to inflict change, we gotta make them feel it in their pocketbooks. If they feel it in their pocketbooks, then the change will come. But that's the only way. I mean, that's the way that we were able to get freedom from the beginning is the bus boycott, because we were the ones riding the bus. So when we wasn't riding the bus, that means the city wasn't making money. So.
So talk, of course, I'm glad you're on here as a black man. Talk to us, because it's so many perspectives that you two can give us, because not only black men are being beaten and killed by the police, it's black women as well, you know, and but from a male's perspective, a black male's perspective, tell me how you feel about what's happening to our black men.
The first emotion is anger. I'm obviously angry because we just don't have the same liberty that other races have. And like Clarissa was saying, it's a shame that I have to tell my children that they can't play with Nerf guns in the car because, you know, we want to remain safe. I think as Black men, we raise our kids sometimes with a barbaric type of a mindset that a woman's job is in the kitchen or a woman's job is folding and washing clothes when we should be the number one servants in our household. And I think if you train your children that being a servant doesn't make you weak, being a servant doesn't make you less of a man. Jesus was the ultimate servant. He was a feet washer and a wine bearer, but you know, he's the Son of God. And if we start our children at that age, teaching them how to interact with others in a God-fearing manner, that a lot of the violence could be squashed to a minimum. Because love will fix it. If my sons or my daughter cries out to me in a way and saying, "Daddy, I need," I'm gonna come today on their behalf. So why, if we serve a God that's all powerful, if our cries aren't sincere, why would He not come to our behalf?
Come on.
Because we'll put ourselves in a bad situation. You know, we put ourselves where we stoop down to their level and try to meet them in the dirt. And that's not our God. You know?
Come on.
The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," said the Lord.
God is the Lord.
Look at how the children of Israel were delivered. They wasn't delivered through violence.
Come on.
Pharaoh told him to leave. He got tired of God putting that pressure on him. And he said, "Y'all get out of here," because he got tired of the pressure. So we need to, that's where our focus as Black men need to be is first of all, controlling the dollar. We can control our dollars. If we can control where our dollars goes, then we can control what the white man will do in essence. And second of all, is controlling our spirit. Like, they can break our body, but they can't break our spirit. We can't let them break our spirit.
That's right. Dave, what you think about it, Dave Renee? You know, I talked to you earlier, you know, about a post that you had put, you know, on Facebook. Share your view with me.
You know, growing up on a military base, my father was in the Army. I didn't see what I seen when I was an adult and out on my own, you know, because, you know, at a military base, you have different races, different cultures, you know, it's just a little bit different. But even recently, we had an experience down in Paris, Texas. We went to a family owned restaurant. And when we went in there, we had seats. We said, "Okay, we're going to go get freshen up, wash our hands and stuff." When we came back, the waitress was like, "I'm sorry, your seats are gone." I mean, that's just how it is around here, you know. It wasn't a wait.
Wow.
And then we finally got seated and we ordered our food. And actually, I mean, it was just a bad spirit in there. It really disturbed my spirit. And we had ordered some pie. Quincy's favorite thing is apple pie. So they brought it. I mean, it was kind of like a crumbled pie. It wasn't cut nicely, you know. First thing he did was he tasted it, and the waiter came back. She must have seen the impression on his face, but she came back to pick that pie up. And her excuse was, "Well, the management said I cut it wrong from, you know, wrong night from the cake, so they don't want the presentation that we gave you to look at, so we're going to go ahead and take it back." Well, when she brought it back, I mean, when she came back, she said, "We don't have that choice for you. We only have," what did she say, "pecan pie?
Yeah, pecan pie.
You can have a pecan pie." And so she was like, "We don't have no more left." And I was like, "Well, that didn't make sense to me, because you said you cut it, first of all, wrong. So you had to cut it from somewhere. So where's the pie that you cut it from? So there has to be, you know, you said you just got out of the freezer. It just didn't make sense to me." But the options that she gave us and the way that everybody was treating us at this restaurant, it just disturbed me. And going back to the hotel, the management said, "Well, I forgot to tell y'all. Y'all didn't ask. You know, I would have told y'all which restaurants to go to. That was a family-owned restaurant, and they don't like colored people in the restaurant." And
wait, did he say colored?
Did he say colored? I think he said colored.
I can't remember.
I'm gonna say he said.
They basically said black or colored people. They let us know that they didn't want our colored people to be in their restaurant.
And, you know, me working with older adults, like I do home health too for, I'm an occupational therapist, and I go to some places in Texas, and me, you know, sometimes they'll call me colored. And I say, just you calling me colored lets me know that I'm in the wrong place. They'll say, no, yeah. We have people down the street. We like colored people. And, you know, they're 80 years old. That was their time, you know. I don't want to excuse it, but that was the time that they were in, you know, at the time. Yeah. So that's their mindset. But just being a mixed race is hard. I think it might be even harder because, you know, you have some of my friends, well, not friends, but coworkers will say, oh, you light skinned, you don't count, jokingly, you know. But I said, no, I count. I do count, you know. You know, on my mom's side, on the white race, they never act prejudiced towards me. You know, maybe it's because I'm family, but the white people in my family don't look as black people being, you know, colored or the bad race. They say what's right is right. And this is what's right. What's wrong is wrong. And so I really get to see both sides. It's a challenge. It really is a challenge to know that you're really not 100% accepted from either side. You know, because they say you're too dark and then they say you're too light, you know, but in America, I'm a black woman. You know, my kids are black kids and that's just how it is. And that's what people need to really appreciate, that I'm different, but I still count. And, you know, just to be more sensitive to people that are not like you, because we're all different.
Yeah.
Right now in Virginia, we've seen a lot of people rioting on the streets and things around the world. It's just getting real, real crazy right now, but we need a change. I think Quincy is he has a lot more tolerance than I do, because if it was me and I seen my children or even him or my father out there, I'm not gonna be nice.
I don't have tolerance when it comes to my family. I'm gonna say that, but I am. My number one job as a black man is to make sure that I'm alive to take care of my family. So
yeah,
if I have to, if I have to take a little bit to make it home, I will. But I'll fight that home. I'll fight that fight when I get home. I get whatever badge number, whatever squad number that I need to get, and I do that fight from the house rather than trying to fight in the street and end up deceased where I can't help anybody. So I'm not tolerant when it comes to my family. Like, I don't have any tolerance when it comes to my family, but when it comes to myself, then I'm very tolerant. I'll take what I have to take to make sure that I can make it to my house, to my family. Yeah.
And you that's a conversation too, like you just said, as a black man, it's a conversation a lot of mothers are having with their sons. You need to make it home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband says all the time, you can't win a case on the side of the road. You can't win, you know, you can't win the case on the side of the road, you know. And they were discussing on JD's Man Cave how if we as a community can start standing up for one another. You see a young black man being pulled over on the side of the road, you just pull over too, you know, or you watch, or you make sure that young man makes it. If they're going to take him in, make sure he make it to the jailhouse, you know what I'm saying? If they're going to, you know, let him go, whatever it is, we have to start being there for one another, you know, because we always say that Black Lives Matter, which I'm just one of them people that say, if Black Lives Matter, we also, I hate to say this right now, but we also have to stop killing each other as well. We have to stop killing each other, and we also have to stop videoing other folks killing us. You know what I'm saying? We have to become more active in our world. We have to become more active. We got our I have some cousins in Austin, And they are out there in the protests. They're out there involved. They are out there, you know, and we always say that this, that the generation today is different from our generation. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding out that they have a different way of fighting. They have a different right. way of standing. They have a different right. way of being a part of the solution, you know? And like I say, you know, God raises up a generation for this time. You know, we had a certain way we did things when we were coming up. And I think that, like I say, what is happening now, God is going to be resolved. Peace is going to come. But some things they have to happen. As much as we want, you know, like you said, the children of Israel came out, you know, but that Pharaoh, he went mm-hmm. after them. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have to understand that regardless, God is in control. He's in control. We have to pray. The scripture that I came from was Ezekiel 33. And it talks about how God said, put a watchman on the wall. I believe the husbands and wives, we are watchmen. We have to give warnings. We have to tell our children. We have to sit our families down. And we have to prepare them for what's happening right now. All right. Let's just get on a lighter note, okay? for me and Quincy, I have to hit another spiritual moment, you know. But I want to talk about, you know, a lot of us are going stir crazy. Some people are back at work. A lot of folks are going stir crazy because they are staying in the house. They are not coming out. Some of them are locked in through fear. Some of them are just self-quarantining, you know. Some people say they will not come out until, you know, the numbers of, you know, go down and you know. But people are at home. And I noticed that during the quarantine that Dave Renee and the kids were doing some, what is that? Is it TikTok?
You seen us with the TikTok video in the back?
Yeah, I saw it with that girl. I'm nosy.
Well, you know, that was at our house. So we were in the backyard. And
Cece's birthday.
Yeah, it was my daughter's birthday and she had her two closest friends. But, you know, we stay in the house to a point, like we don't go around people.
Yeah.
And the people that come to our house, the two friends that she had over to do the video, I asked them, where you been? You know, have you been around anybody? The same questions that they ask you when you make a doctor's appointment. I have to know.
Who you been? Who you touch? Who you hug? Was anybody coughing in your mama house? Girl, you got to do it all.
Right. So even when we have people come in our house, we just bought our house and we have some painting that I wanted to get redone. And when they come in there, I'm like, where's your mask at? You know, do you have, you know, they look at me like mask. You have to wear a mask in here. I mean, I sanitize when they leave. We've been very careful, but we do take the kids outside, go fishing, hunting, you know, things that they can do. They've been getting a little, I don't want to say crazy in the house, but
they're crazy. Yeah.
They're crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause so. I know I was, man, listen, the days was running into each other. I was like, what day is it, honey? Yeah, what day is it? And then I messed up and put some dark blinds in the house, you know, where I can't tell night from day. I don't know what possessed me to do that. But I was like, baby, what day is it? Oh, what do I have to do? I got alarm set, you know, dinging and all kinds of stuff going off to keep my head straight. But it's a lot of people dealing with anxieties, dealing with this, dealing with being at home, you know. Mm-hmm. And I heard an introvert say, I used to love being at home till they told me I had to be at home. Now I'm just, now I want to leave just because you're telling me I have to be. But I want you to leave us with a final word. I always love to do this. What would you say to those that are listening? Just thinking about the times, where we are, what we do. I'm going to have you to say something, then Quincy say something, and then we're gonna let these airways go.
Well, one thing I do want to say before I leave, because I'm down here at my friend's and mentor's funeral to pay my respects. I just want to let people know that He was a great example. You know, this helped, he went out of his way to help people. And his name was Bugs James Jackson. I don't want to ever lose his memory or not talk about him because he helped me out so much. And just went out of his way. And that's how we should live. Like, he went out and he invited me down. He didn't know me when we first met, but he knew I had a passion for the outdoors, that I wanted to learn the outdoors. And, you know, he just blessed me for free, just loved me for free. You know, he didn't have any hidden motives. And it wasn't just for me, but he did that for all the people that wanted to come out and learn the outdoors. And that's what we have to do for each other. We have to lift each other up and be an example, you know, let God live through us and be that light. And I just want to remember him today. I'm going to always tell people about him. And I just appreciate the person that he was. And you will forever be loved, Bub. And then I'm going to let Quincy take over before I start tearing up, because it's still fresh new to me. So,
I just want to tell people that I know that we're stuck inside and that could be frustrating, but I think it's an opportunity to get to know your family better. Because, you know, back in the day, we didn't have all of this technology and TVs and everything to do. So we really knew each other. And I think I'm learning a lot about my children that I didn't know now that we are in the house all day, every day. And, yeah. Man, take some time to get to know Jesus, because it's getting bad. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And we want to make sure that we're in a position that when judgment day comes, we're in good standings with God. So get to know Jesus, get to know your family, and just try to enjoy life, because it's definitely short and it's quick. So
can we get another little piece of a song before? Can you, like they say, that's how church people are. We something else. Sing a song out of here. Sing a song out.
Amazing grace.
Yes, Lord.
How sweet the sound.
Thank you, Jesus.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now,
hallelujah,
I'm found, was blind. But now I see.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
My God, I was lost right then. Yeah, I just was in the moment. Let me tell y'all something. Quincy, I can say we need that voice right now at this time. If you open up a live every day and just sing a blessing, or once a week, I'm just saying, we need that voice right now. You know, I believe that God has really anointed you to minister at this time in this, you know, I think it's your time and your season right now, you know, to sing to us, because a lot of times people don't understand the power of the spirituals that our ancestors sung, that got them through some horrific times. And even though today is not as heavy as it was back then, we do need encouragement. So I want to thank you, Day Renee, for coming on.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for
having me. You're ready to.
You owe us a song, though. A live performance song.
We were ready for it.
But yeah, somebody prophesied and told me that I'm gonna do a new album, and I'm gonna be doing some singing, and I'm just trying to get myself in a position to do so. Amen. So whatever you need me to do, you know, just and you know, we at a time where everybody is kind of shuffled around, so I'm respecting everybody's boundaries as well. Again, I'm ready to get out there to the wild and get to shooting. You know, that's probably why my daddy didn't give me a gun, because I said, "Dad, I need to get to shooting." He said, "No, you don't need a gun."
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was like 21 or something. He was like, "No, no, you're not ready. You're gonna shoot the dude you're married to. I don't want you to have one." So, so I want to just thank you all for tuning in. Thank everybody that liked, shared. Make sure you continue to share this live. Give us the information on how, first of all, drop the book information again.
The book is called Beautiful. You can go to Amazon.com and type in Clarissa Richard, Beautiful Book, and it'll pop up. The cable business is called Clear Vision Media, and that we can be found at clearvisionmedia1.com. That's clearvisionmedia1.com. And we also have Facebook page, Clear Vision Media, for that. Quincy Robertson, singer Quincy Robertson, you can find him and his information on that Facebook page. And I'll definitely keep you posted, because I am his manager and we got some things coming up. So, and I'm going to be featuring on his one of his songs. I'm just going to let you know right now.
Yeah, so. Right. Now, also, don't forget to drop my page.
Okay.
But, what is it? Outdoor Living.
Yes, Joy Renee Outdoors is Living. I can also be found there. And, you know, just keep us posted. I might be coming out with some of my gospel rap music this year, but I definitely want to take care of what his project first. But I got some things in the making. You know, we might be another show.
All right. It is. Yes. I will be messaging you. Okay. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. I want y'all to remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Who cares? Amen. God cares.
See you later. Thank you.
You're welcome. Love you.
Love you, too.